O'Flaherty seems to be a little forgotten man. I mean, my experience of him in the last 2 years was the bigger the game, the better he got, you know, in the county final against Mike Holland 2 years ago. And again, he had a massive game. So, you know, he is a young player with great potential.
The Maroon and White Pod, brought to you by CityLink. For bookings, timetables, updates, and any other information, head to citylink.ie.
So a narrow win for Galway against Tyrone and Omagh, where they ran out winners on a scoreline of 110 to 12 points, 3 points after three games, the exact same position as last year, and a badly needed win for Galway. Coming to you first, Mike, just really important to get the win first, no matter what else.
100%, yeah. I suppose getting the 2 points was massive. It was always going to be a big ask. I suppose going to Tyrone, even though Galway probably had the upper hand on them throughout the league campaign over the last couple of years or so. Yeah, massive 2 points, and I suppose there's 3 points on the board now. They have a big challenge in Derry next weekend as well, so they really needed it. You know, it was, yeah, more than 2 points.
Yeah, Barry, just similar to that, important to win this, even when you were looking towards the end, it was kind of slipping away, but just important to come out of here.
Yeah, on at an overall level, yeah, absolutely. But I suppose for Pádraic and management teams, and Mike will know this as well, like they're looking for a bit more than what we're looking for, in that, you know, supporters and pundits and all of that always get very focused and caught up on the result, and you know, did they win, did they lose, and where they are on the table. But they'll have been looking for other stuff in relation to, like, from what I could have seen. So I think we can take the Mayo game as a bit of an outlier to a certain extent. Well, we'd hope we can. But like the Roscommon game, the quality wasn't great, but like they battled and they worked and they had a great attitude and they put in a really good shift, and they did the same today. And what, like, you know, they won by a point, but like, does it change if they lost by a point? Okay, they wouldn't have got the 2 points, but in overall context of the year, does it change a huge amount? Probably not. They're still looking for the same things, and I think they got them today, and they got them against Roscommon, and it's a very good sign of a group of players that are, they are back in management and what management want to do. And I think that's for us as supporters, and you know, lads chatting about a game, the win and the points are important. But for Pádraic and Scann and Divo and the boys going down the road, they will have been looking at other stuff, and I'd say that other stuff they'd have been very pleased with as well.
What stood out most today for you, Mike? What were you most impressed by after kind of a few hours now since the game?
The standouts was probably the likes of Paul Conroy kind of demanding the middle for the first probably 20 minutes or so. His pop passes inside to Rob Finnerty. I thought Rob was savage for the first half. You know, he clocked up some serious scores, but probably a weakness in Rob's game maybe over the last couple of years is making that ball stick inside. You know, he's usually that player coming off the shoulder, and he's a serious striker of a ball. If you give him any time and space, he's going to strike it. What he was doing today and receiving, you know, tough ball. The first ball that was put into him was Kieran Malloy. You know, probably wasn't the best ball, made it stick, and he put it over from a tight angle. So I think we kind of went at it a small bit more. I said John Daly was playing with his head up, you know, looking for that pop ball inside to Liam O'Connor. I think he won two, if not three balls early on. Probably faded out of it after that to a certain extent. But it's like that. They're trying to feed in new players. O'Corrine inside as well probably didn't get his hand on as much ball, and you'll probably find that with inside forwards anyway. When you're playing against the likes of a Tyrone, who kind of just sit back and give you possession around the middle. Yeah, I think the likes of Paul Conroy, I think, was good. I thought John Maher was very good in the field. He's kind of introduced himself into that midfield area, and he wants to make it his own. I think Gillian McDade probably coming in looking over the next couple of weeks, so it's putting a bit of pressure on. And like that, everyone's kind of building. And there's a lot of injuries at the minute. So I think going to Tyrone and getting that result with the amount of injuries they have at the minute was very good. I think management will have to be proud of that, and I think we're definitely happy with it as supporters.
Just one thing you mentioned there, Mike, going at it, is one thing that this Galway team are maybe just guilty at the moment. There were stages today in the first half when we turned over the ball and we looked to go laterally rather than just kick passing that ball, not letting Tyrone set up.
Yeah, I think we probably went away from it a small bit. You know, we did it quite early and we were getting good joy from it. You know, the ball was sticking inside when it was put in. I don't know, did Tyrone just set up that bit quicker and, you know, we didn't try penetrate it because there was that gap inside, you know, around that D area. And all it takes at times is just that simple pop ball and there's plenty of lads to be coming off the shoulder to a very hard stop a runner who gets a run on their man. It's either a score or a free, and, you know, you're creating chances. They probably went away from it a small bit, particularly in the second half when Paul Connolly went off. And look at Paul, I know you've kind of gone on about him over the last couple of weeks. He's a massive addition to the Galway setup. You know, he's been, you know, such a servant for Galway over the last couple of years, and what he does, you know, wins frees, kicks scores. He's so innovative around the middle, and I think the likes of John Maher probably compliments him as well, and he puts in that massive work right around him. So, yeah, probably went away from it a small bit in the second half, unfortunately, when he went off.
Yeah, because Barry, especially early on after 14 minutes, it was 4-2 up. And as Mike was mentioning there, Robert Finnerty was going really well. It was a real positive. We were kicking ball, things were going well. But just kind of after that period, then Tyrone obviously going ahead at the breaks 6-4. And we just seemed to go away from kick passing that ball and maybe going lateral, maybe taking too much out of the ball at times.
Yeah, I think I suppose starting with Rob, it was great to see him back, showing a bit of form, and he has struggled with injury over the last while. And he's a fella that, you know, I worked with him at under 21, and you could see, and Mike, you'll have played against him, I'd say, I'm sure, a load of times, and he has something different that a lot of footballers don't have, and that just so good on the ball, you know, mightn't have that light and burst of pace, but what he can do is he can shift away from a fella in that 10, 15 yard space, and his feet are very good. But you know, I would have felt, and like he I'm not sure if he listens, if he's a regular listener to this, but like he felt at times he could do giving him a bit of a kick in the backside, like, because he's so good that he needs to be one of the dominant forwards in that Galway team. Because whatever happens with Shane or Damien over the next year, 2, 3 years, both of them are 30 years old, and you know, Paul Conroy is kind of bucking the trend in terms of players of that age, you know, producing at an inter-county level. Once you go past 30, unfortunately, you know, you're definitely in the twilight of your career, and Galway needs someone to step up, and that to me has to be Rob Finnerty. I agree with you in terms of, like, we started to go a bit lateral. I also thought, on the opposite side of that, I thought we retreated a little bit from Tyrone, in that when Tyrone got a turnover, instead of trying to put a squeeze on, and I think again that comes a lot from Paul, and that he's so vocal and he's always trying to get on the front foot, we just went back into a little bit of what we've a habit of doing, of kind of pointing and dropping off, and they kind of pick their way through is a little bit easier. And
Particularly when they, but it was just when you're talking about that, like, did they get 2 or 3 marks in the first half just from us dropping off?
yeah, that was my perception of it anyway. No, I was only watching it on telly. I just felt that in the first 20 minutes we really squeezed and we really went at them. And as I thought, yeah, offensively we slowed things down a bit, but I just thought defensively, particularly up top, that we didn't put a squeeze on quick enough, and they picked their way through it a little bit. And I felt, and I would feel, that you know, better teams at times we continue to do that in the second half, and they kind of ran down blind alleys to a certain extent. And better, that was something that would worry me a little bit, that better teams might pick us off or pick scores off a little bit easier than what Tyrone did. But like, again, that's something that they'll have, that goal the goal management will see, and I'm sure they'll address over the next week or two.
Yeah, I think you made a good point there, and you know, lads need to be standing up when the likes of Danny Comer and Shane Walsh are missing. You know, they've obviously carried the forwards, you know, for many years, and they're massive losses throughout the league. I was somewhat disappointed with the likes of Matty Tierney in the first half, and even, you know, Johnny Heaney, while he got man of the match and had a massive second half. He worked hard at that, you know, on that wing forward position, but he probably needs to be popping up with some scores or you know, creating something offensively as well and putting him on the back foot. And then they came out in the second half and they just went at it. You know, Matthew Tierney caught the hot ball and just went for it and got the first score. And then Johnny Heaney followed. So whatever was said at halftime, it obviously gave them that bit of motivation to go at it. But yeah, that's what we need. We need more lads kind of standing up to the mark with the boys missing. I don't know how far off they are from you know, featuring, or will they feature in the league or at the latter stages of it. It'll be good to get them some game time before championship kicks off as well.
Just on that, Barry, because you're talking on the point there of Robert Finnerty, really good in the first half. Do you think if we're going to have a good year and push on this year, does Robert Finnerty have to be one of the main men this year?
On a personal opinion, I think, yeah. Like, you know, one of the positives for me from today and over the National League has been the introduction of the likes of Killian O'Corrin and Liam O'Connell and these guys. But they're still very young and they're still trying to find their feet at senior into county football. And it's like, it's an extremely, it's not an easy experience and it's not easy to do it. And, you know, they're very good, very good footballers, and they've showed it in Sigerson, and it'll take them a bit of time to get to that level. Rob has had plenty of experience now, and he's probably 26, I'd say, 27. So again, he's at the peak, 25, 26, 27, around that age. He's at the peak of his powers now, and he needs to go and produce it because he has all the ability to do it. And if Galway are to go, because there's a lot of this, to be honest, bullshit really about, you know, when we get Shane and Damien on the pitch and Boko, like the reality is both absolutely outstanding footballers. And 20, when we get to the Ireland final, 2022 yeah. had two great years. That's an outlier. Like you wouldn't count too many games over the last 5 years where we've had Shane Walsh and Damien Comer on the same pitch, both playing really, really well. So, you know, to talk some of the soft talk out there about, you know, the anticipation of just getting the two boys back and it'll take all of it from there. That's exactly what it is, soft talk. And we're going to need Rob Finnerty. And again, when we spoke about giving a guy a kick in the backside at times, you know, we're going to need Matthew Tierney as well, because like when he does it, and I think he personally, I would have him, I would look at him at midfield, but that's only me. I think he needs to be involved in the game all the time and really driving this thing forward, because he's an exceptional footballer, sometimes drifts in and drifts out of games, but has all the attributes to go and to go and be the dominant footballer on the Galway team.
As Barry mentions there about Matthew Tierney, Mike, it's not positive in one sense. The likelihood is Matthew Tierney is probably going to miss a few games now just with the quick turnaround and the injury. But really in that second half, he was coming to the fore where you're seeing more of what Matthew is about.
Yeah, he was. He was dominating, you know, and you know he laid the marker right from the throw-in, which was class, because I was looking for him today, particularly because he was playing in that 11 role. And probably, I don't know, does that position suit him? Like Barry was saying, maybe he's better out around the middle where he's getting involved in play, because you can kind of switch off in that 11 position because you can decide if you want to make that run or not. It probably didn't suit him the way that we're playing. We kind of carry the ball a small bit more than kick it, particularly from the half-back line to midfield section. We don't kind of do that out ball. So, yeah, he's... it's unfortunate that even the freeze that he would have missed, like maybe it's the fact that he wasn't on them regular or frequently. I know he missed a lot of even the club year this year, and that, but you know, in previous years, you'd be expecting him to slot them all day long. And you know, I think the camera went to Park on the sideline at one stage, and I'd say he was just disgusted at the fact that, you know, he'd surely kick it if he's in that position. So I think it was three easy scoreable frees. That could have kind of solved the game that small bit earlier. So, yeah, it's unfortunate that he's injured. It sounded like a hip flexor injury similar to Shane Walsh's. So, look, I don't know how long that could be.
What's Matthew's best position for you, Mike?
It's a tricky one. I know he's played a good bit of at wing forward. He kind of gives that option, that aerial threat at wing forward as well. He's ferocious pace, but I suppose it depends on who you're playing midfield with them. You know, if you're playing the likes of a Paul Conroy, he might be a similar type player to Paul Conroy. You know, Paul has to play at the minute. Will he last the 70 minutes? Come in the thick of it against the Kerry or Dublin and Croker, it's hard to know. Is he better to come on, let's say, the last 15, 20 minutes to see out again? You know, what a lad to bring off the bench. So it's hard to know. Probably, I know he's played inside forward as well, in that 13 position. He's played a bit of full forward, but you'd probably have to try him out around the middle. But again, you probably won't be trying out Anthony now at this stage, because he'll be doing well to get back in for the end of the league, will he?
Yeah, for sure. And we're just referencing, it was 6-4 at the break. We come out, we get those two quick points from Matthew and Johnny Heaney, 6-6. What did we do? Was it just simply there, Barry? We went at them more, we threw off the shackles. What did we do to come out, I suppose, on the front foot after halftime?
I will say, in fairness to Pádraig, over his tenure as Galway manager, that 10 minutes after half time has tended to be strong. You know, I think he gets his messaging right, and I think he gets the tone of his messaging right at half time. And we tend to come out fairly sharp in the second half. Now, at times, we have a tendency then to drift off, which isn't exactly ideal. But I think, there's that bit of momentum as well, in that. That first score is so important, because it allows you to put a squeeze then on their kickout, and set restarts now in Gaelic football are so, so important. And, you know, Galway got the score straight away, put a pressure on Niall Morgan. They got a squeeze on, got a turnover, and Johnny Heaney kicked his score. So I'd be nearly more worried that we didn't go after, try to get 7-6 a little bit quicker. I thought we kind of went to 6-6 and kind of again just took our foot off it a small bit, and you would just feel that if we can get to a level where we can push and push, and that's why we can't rely on Paul all the time to be there to do that. Like, it has to be a case of we get to 6-6, like, we gotta, particularly, and no disrespect to Tyrone, but like, they're not going well. Like, they're not, you know, they're not the team that went and won in All-Ireland. Like, they were, Pádraig Joyce has a 100% record against Tyrone in the league. And, like, I've seen them in Tuam a couple of times over the last couple of years, and they've been very poor. And to be honest,
they're in transition, really, aren't they?
Oh, I don't know what they're in, to be honest, Paul. I think that's been very, very kind to them. You know, they have a lot of lads out there that won All-Ireland medals not that long ago. So, you know, what do you transition to? Rory Canavan, Dara Canavan, excellent footballers. Paul Campsie, good footballer. I think their discipline at times lets them down a little bit, but we'll stick with Galway. So I think we had an opportunity against a team that to really put our foot in their throat, and I'd just be a bit disappointed we didn't. There's loads of positives from today, but if you're looking for stuff that maybe would disappoint you a little bit, I think that certainly would be one of them.
The big turning point really is, Mike, Tyrone go 8-6, but the way Daniel O'Flaherty works the ball, then it's given to Rory Cunningham. He offloads it at the perfect time. Sweeney comes in, and he probably has been in those situations before and hasn't finished the goals, but that was a huge turning point to get that goal to go ahead.
Yeah, I thought it was a brilliant kind of substitute, really, by Pádraig. You know, Kieran probably, while he popped ball in the first half and, you know, had a shot at goal, or shot for a point that went nearly wide, probably went away from him a small bit, and we didn't kind of see that out of him later on this in the first half. With Daniel coming in, he injected serious pace to it. You know, he kicked his own score, and then, as you mentioned, you know, the bikey goal. But it was purely that pace, the injection pace that he brought to the attack, that pop ball into, and Rory Cunningham making a stick, you know, really slick inside forward. If he can get ball into him at all, he'll make it stick and he'll do the damage. He's done it. He does it year in, year out for the club. He's a quality player. Sweeney, serious finish. You know, that was the turning point, really. I know he had another one after that, probably a small bit tighter angle. But look, he's getting into those positions and quality finish.
Just Rory Cunningham, you talk about him being a quality player. We've seen him do it for Brendan's in every game this year. Is he someone you feel that can get game time as the year progresses?
I think so. I think he's kind of earned his right to be there. I think he's filled out quite a bit over the last year or so. You know, he's the jersey's getting that bit tighter on him. He should be kind of getting more game time, maybe in the last 15 minutes, hopefully against Derry or so, and start easing into the game like that. He should, because he's very slick. You know, as you mentioned there, he's done it for St. Brendan's for many years, and it's like I saw a couple of their games this year, and he's a top quality forward. You get the ball into him at all, he'll do damage. You know, so it's trying to feed him through and bring him along in that Galway jersey.
Well, Flaherty's impact in Barry, I suppose for the period he was on, he's probably nearly in contention for man of the match because he just made a huge impact for Galway today.
Yeah, he did, and he's great pace, and he's been playing really, really well for Saut Hill. And showed huge confidence, like, you know, I'm sure he's confident in his own ability, but the score he got, certainly he would have been forgiven for taking it on a little bit more and maybe popping it to a Rory Cunningham or someone, maybe a noted finisher. But like, you know, when Galway really needed a score, he came up with it. And I thought he was really good. He's aggressive and he's strong. He's a really good runner and he's good on the ball. But like Cathal Sweeney, I saw him for Saut Hill a good few games last year. And I said it a couple of times that if there was one player putting his hand up in Galway Club Championship to say, look, I'm going to lead this Galway thing, it was him. I thought he was absolutely outstanding last year in the Club Championship. And I think he's a player that could go and do very, very good things for Galway. I think he's a top player. I think he's every pace, good in the tackle, can finish. And I know Pádraig did mention it in comments afterwards that goal scoring has been something they've been working on. And he referenced that he did have another chance that he could have finished as well. So I think he's a top player and can only get better. And just someone who I think we haven't mentioned, or maybe we will mention, that I think deserves huge credit as well. And I love watching him play, is Johnny McGrath. Watching Gaelic football, what we love is that, like, you know, it's a game, good, great game, we love it, but it's the competitive nature of it. And if anyone epitomizes what it means to be competitive in Gaelic football, it's Johnny McGrath. Like, he brings the fight all the time. He attacks everything. He's getting his body on the line as a corner forward. If you're in that position, like, he's always hands on, never stepping, never taking a backward step, and come up and kicked a great score. And like, again, you're looking for these leaders to be developed, and you know, without Jack Lynn, who was potentially putting himself in that position to be that leader of a Galway defence, Johnny McGrath has certainly stepped up, and I think he's definitely the people's champion as well. They like his style, and I think he's a brilliant addition to that Galway backline.
Yeah, he's so tigerish, you know. If he's on cabinet today at Canavan, and he just gave him bags of it. I know Canavan had a tough couple of weeks in that, but that's the last man you'd want to be going in on top of, hands-on consistently and, you know, draining the energy out of you. I think it was a high ball kicked in the second half, and Canavan was through for a possible goal chance, and he just got hands-on, ball spilled, you know. That was a dangerous, dangerous period in the game. So he's really laying down a marker for the championship starting team.
Is the biggest positive out of today, it comes back there and it goes to 1-8 to 10, and then we stretch it out to 1-9 to 10, and then it goes 1-10 to 10. Is the biggest positive within that period, Barry, before the end, the way we were able to keep responding to Tyrone?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, if Galway, the last couple of games, maybe the Galway, particularly Mayo game, and then maybe the performance, not the attitude or anything like that against Roscommon, but maybe the performance wasn't exactly, or the quality wasn't exactly what we'd have anticipated. But every comment you make about, positives or stuff, you have to keep in the back of your mind that we're missing Jack Lynn, Young Footballer of the Year, Killian McDade, All Star, Damien Comer, Shane Walsh, both All Stars. Like four top, and I'm sure I'm missing lads, I'm sure there's other lads missing. Four absolutely outstanding footballers. So the biggest positive is, yeah, we're doing it, but we're doing it with new, younger talent. And that's the big thing. And they're trying, as I said, they're trying to develop these leaders. So the Johnny McGraths, the Cathal Sweeneys, the John Mahers, the Rob Finnertys, the Killian O'Coreens, if he's there, the Liam O'Connells, are trying to develop these guys that can go and play the Rory Cunningham, these guys. They're all, that's the positive. So at a micro level, yeah, great that we went and did that. But at a macro level, great that we didn't went and did that with newer, younger players. And that's as the management, as I said, the stuff that they're going to be looking at coming back down the road, that's it. And I will say one thing is that we're always first to jump on the bandwagon if there's to give out about county boards or whatever the situation is. But someone is doing something very right in terms of S&C for these young fellas. Because, like, if you look at the likes of Johnny McGrath, the likes of Killian O'Curry, Liam O'Connella, like, they're coming onto this Galway senior team. They're coming in fairly good shape. Yeah, they're still young and there's loads of room for development. Even Jack Lynn, when he burst on the scene, they're coming in good shape. And whatever about mentally and, ability wise, able to compete, which they obviously have, the whole athletic side of it, being able to compete, they're doing it really, really well. And that's a credit to credit to everyone that's involved in developing these young footballers, because, it's not, it doesn't happen in every county. But it's certainly been very, very, it's certainly very noticeable with the Galway footballers, I would feel.
Just a man that was key to that second half revival, Mike, Johnny Heaney, got some key scores. We've seen Johnny play that wing forward role really well, but probably haven't seen him chip in with scores as much as he did today. Is that something we need to keep seeing from Johnny now moving forward?
Yeah, most definitely. I was jotting down notes as the game was going on today, and they were the two players that were standing out, Johnny Heaney and Matty Tierney, because I haven't been around the county scene it through different years and playing against them, you know what they can do. And they probably just didn't do enough for me in the first half. But then when they went at it in the second half, like, Johnny has, nailed himself onto that Galway team with pure determination. He's a pure professional. Serious scorers, love the outside the right to finish it. Top quality player, he works like a dog. Just stays going. He's as honest as they come. We needed him to step up in the second half, and he did.
It was Keyberry, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's a vital cog to that Galway team, and look, the Mayo game didn't go well for him, but he had plenty of credit in the bank that he can fall back on. Because, like I always say it, I think I remember one of Pádraig Joyce's first game in charge, not his first, but they went to Kerry to play Tralee just before COVID, and Johnny Heaney was cornerback. And like, he has played cornerback, wing back, he chipped in a midfield for wing forward, and has done it for Kevin Walsh, has done it now for Pádraig Joyce. And like, just as Mike said, like, just a complete, he's a great competitor, he's honest, his attitude is always 100%, makes very little mistakes. And I would say if a manager tells Johnny Heaney to go and stand on his head in the corner, Johnny Heaney will go and stand on his head in the corner. He'll play constantly for the team, and there's no selfishness in anything that he does. And like, whenever Johnny Heaney decides to hang up his boots, like, he'll owe Galway football nothing. And like, one of the great success stories in reality of Kevin Walsh's kind of tenure, when maybe you know, he'd asked quite a number of guys to go into senior panels, and there weren't it wasn't for them at the time. And Johnny Heaney, who probably hadn't been, you know, a standout minor or 21, but had gone really well with Killannon, and he went in and you know, just embraced that inter-county scene and has given everything to Galway over the last 10 years.
The end of this game was frantic. Tyrone get those two scores at the end to bring it back to 110 to 12. We give the ball back cheaply. Robert Finnerty at one stage, I think it was John Mayer as well. But Tyrone just can't make it count. Then Kieran Daly has the opportunity to shoot, pops it back to Niall Morgan. Joe McQuillan blows the final whistle. And like all Galway supporters, we're all delighted with that. But then the opportunities we had with a couple of the frees, like, in one sense, Mike, did we make this harder on ourselves than it needed to be?
At times, definitely. You know, we kind of went away from the things that were working in the first half, you know, getting that ball inside. I don't know, was it just the fact that we were getting on top? I think it was 4-2, and then we started holding onto the ball a small bit more. Did we just think that it's going to be a low-scoring game against Tyrone, just hold the ball? That's fine to certain periods of the game, but when you're getting joy, you know, you have to keep going at it and, you know, make hay. So I think we just, at times, we kind of just go away from that. You know, you can see John Daly when he comes forward. He's a joy to watch. He doesn't even look at the ball when he's taking a play. He's just head up, looking inside. You know, the cut passes that he puts in outside the left, they're the types of balls you want to see. You know, it's a joy to watch. It's fine trying to break down mass defences and that, but if you're kind of being patient with the play, and, you know, there's times you will have to go lateral, as much and all as I don't like it, it's a part of the game now, but you always have to have a head up, and the likes of a John Daly and even Kieran Malloy earlier in the first half, you know, that's what you want, Paul Conroy consistently. So, yeah, that's the kind of football that Galway footballers should be playing. And I think Orrick's well aware that we got massive success in 22 and putting up a right battle to Kerry. It's to get back to that stage again.
Just hanging on in the end, Barry, but ultimately it doesn't really matter at the end. I suppose when we brought that on ourselves, it was just about hanging on.
Yeah, hanging on and showing character to hang on. And now look, we were delighted Joe McCullum blew the whistle, but if it was the other way around, yeah, I'd say we could be here. It could be some choice words about him, but I thought Daly should have pulled the trigger for Tyrone. I thought he kind of bottled it a little bit. Where, you know, on the flip side of that, when Daniel Flaherty had the chance to do it for Galway, he was well able to pull it, and there was no issues with that. But you made a couple of points, like, for looking for stuff to improve on. I thought we were cheap in possession, or giving away possession cheaply a couple of times, and again, like that, you all look at Mayo last night. Like, guarantee if David Clifford's in the same position, we're done for. And that's just it, and that's what we'll have to learn, and that's what they'll have to look at on Tuesday night when they're looking at the video, is that sort of stuff at the top level isn't acceptable. And like, there'll be no better man than Pádraig to point that out to them on Tuesday night. You know, again, like I said, I was watching his TG Cahir interview, and he spoke about a couple of Rob Finnerty and Matthew Tierney's efforts in the first half, and basically said there's, you know, they were inexcusable. And I'd say he'll be looking at Rob Finnerty and I think John Maher, as he said, towards the end of the game, and highlighting that and saying, like, that doesn't happen again. And the most important thing that they can take from that last few minutes is, but that doesn't happen again if they find themselves in the same position against Derry, which will be a much, much tougher nut to crack.
Yeah, Derry coming up now, and as Pádraig was referencing in his interview, they're the most informed team in the country at the minute. How big is this challenge now, Mike? Because we're probably going deeper into our squad, because it looks unlikely if Tierney or Conroy are going to be fit for next weekend. With the impact some of the lads made, they might start, but we are probably going to go deeper and see some faces against Derry that we mightn't expect it to at the start of the year.
Yeah, and I was kind of trying to think about that, as in, you know, who'll step in for Matty Tierney at 11. Is there a suited 11 there at the minute? It's hard to know. You know, are they going to go in with the likes of, you know, they were bringing on the likes of Daly today and Carlos Rand Darcy. So, like, will he go with them? It's hard to know. Will he throw in some new blood? I know there's two Corrifin lads there that probably haven't got game time through. I think what's his name? Jack McCabe came on the last day and got the black card, which is unfortunate. So it's hard to know how far back in the panel he'll go. Sean Kelly, great to see him back on the field today again. Is he able to play 70 minutes? Probably not yet. No, they're going to give him a half or so. So hopefully he'll be putting his hand up, pushing lads again. It's a tough one. You know, there's doesn't sound like the likes of Shane Walsh and Damien Comer are going to be back anytime soon. So they're probably in a tough predicament going up to Derry, who are, like you said, in form. It'll be a tough ask.
Yeah, how big is this challenge going to be, Barry? Because more or less Derry are at full strength at the minute.
It won't be too bad. It's going to be, it'll be monumental enough now, to be honest. You know, they have their full strength, and they have guys who are probably, you know, up there, the top footballers in the country. Conor Glass is probably the biggest leader in the country, and like what he's doing for, you know, for Glenn and for Derry is phenomenal. And like, he is our Paul Conroy, but probably actually has a bit of a better supporting cast around him at the minute. And like, you know, there was, I suppose, question marks over the Mickey Hart thing, which I found really, really funny. Like, you've a guy going in there that has one minor under 21 and three senior All Irelands, which you could basically say three different teams in Tyrone, and yet people were questioning why Derry would want him. I think he has brought them on another level, just in terms of what they're doing. And yeah, Monaghan were down a lot of players at the weekend, but like, they really, really took them apart. And Galway are going to have to, they're going to have to find something special next Sunday, because that the performance today won't be good enough. But they have shown signs that they're willing to dig in, and that's going to be the most important thing. And you know, it's a really good test for them. As Mike said, like, it doesn't look like Shane and Damien are going to come back, and even at Sean Kelly, like, the intensity that Derry play at, you know, might be a little bit of, if I was Pádraig, a little bit in my head going, this mightn't be the game to get Sean Kelly back into this thing at full throttle. And certainly if Damien's hammer or Shane Welch's hip flexor are in any way doubtful, I'm not sure you throw them in against Derry. You might just, you know, you might just take this one on the chin if that's the way it's going to transpire. But yeah, you're right. This is an opportunity for a lot of lads that maybe wouldn't have felt that they're going to see an awful lot of game time this summer or this year, particularly against the top teams, and they're going to have to perform. And you know, no, Pádraig or any of his management team or any of the players, any of his senior players, won't use, you know, the personnel available to them as an excuse if it doesn't go well. But it's also a huge opportunity to test themselves against one of the top teams and see exactly where they are.
Yeah, what I will say about Pádraig, and he always introduces such a positive mentality in around the dressing room. You know, he's such a, I suppose, a driven winner. And what I found is he instills that belief within the group. Now, whether that's enough to get over the line next weekend or not, we'll soon see. But he'll definitely, along with the management team, will you know, be striving for that extra 2 points next weekend.
There's a funny kind of element here, Mike, because if the result doesn't go the way on Sunday, we're almost straight back into this relegation battle, because if Roscommon were to beat Monaghan, they're on 3 points, Monaghan go on to 2 points. If Tyrone were to get a result, it just shows how tight this division is at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. Look, no team wants to be relegated. But at the end of the day, it's championship is what the management want. you know, it's Sam Maguire, it's those pieces of silverware. You know, Dublin were relegated and they went on, won the All Ireland. So, if anything, that may have helped them in some elements. So it's a tricky one. It's not, look, I wouldn't see it as the end of the world. You know, I know supporters might say, comments after the first two games, you know, what did management add or different, you know, keyboard warriors or whatever. I think we just need to face reality. We're missing, you know, the spine of our team at the minute, you know, massive senior all-star players. And, you know, let's say when Kerry were missing there, the Cliffords, you know, they felt it, you know, the two of them clocked 9 points between them yesterday evening. So it's, yeah, I think people just need to relax a small bit. It's a long way to championship yet. You know, lads need to recover. As Barry was saying earlier, you're not going to be risking anyone, you know, in these games, you know, not with the caliber of players that are due to come back. But I think it's a promising year. Lads are getting plenty of game time, you know, even the development squad coming in for the FBD, and that, you know, there's a lot of lads getting a chance to put their hand up. Two of them probably played yesterday in full forward line. And so it's great that they're kind of introducing new blood. And look, hopefully it'll be a long year yet.
Barry, presumably we're probably going to see a lot of the faces that came on today in the second half. Obviously, we don't know the Sean Kelly of 70 minutes in him yet, but the likes of Keane Darcy, probably going to see him now, along with Rory Cunningham and Daniel O'Flaherty, that we could see from the start now in this Derry game.
Yeah, absolutely. Or you might see someone come from that development squad. Maybe someone like Anthony O'Lee, if he's knocking around with them. I'm not sure who's in the panel or who's not in the panel. But yeah, some of the guys that maybe didn't go great for today. So maybe Killian O'Curry might go to 11. Keane Darcy might start. If Paul can't, Keane Darcy might start with John Maher. In the middle of the pitch, which doesn't give us, I think what we struggled with against Mayo was a lack of a kicking option around the middle of the pitch. And you know, that's what not having Paul, and maybe, you know, say Kieran Lyventoff, if he's injured, I don't know, but he kicks the ball really well too. So I think that could be an issue for us. But yeah, guys are going to come in and it'll be familiar-ish faces that start the game, but I think the backup, the cavalry squad, in terms of who'll come in if they need players, which they will, they could be unfamiliar faces. And I said it might be someone like Anthony O'Leary who I think could offer us something that might get the opportunity to, because we have to take it that the guys that are missing at the moment won't be back. So as I said, we're looking at our squad, and it's getting a bit threadbare, but as I said, it might give an opportunity to someone to come in and make a name for themselves.
Just on that, Barry, would you deploy runners in the half forward line on Sunday? Because you have a half forward line there of McInnes, McGrogan and Doherty, and they're just key to Derry. Do you deploy, even if you're looking at a half forward line like Heaney, Malloy and Sweeney, who are all just being able to track those players?
Yeah, that's easier said than done though now. Like, you can't just say let's go out there on Ethan Doherty or whatever and expect that you're going to be able to track him up down the pitch. Like, he's going to lose lads. And so the most important thing is, yeah, you're going to have lads, you know, earmarked for tagging guys. You'd hope that maybe that's something that they've learned, that they didn't get it fully right against Mayo in terms of Owen McLaughlin and stuff. But they'll definitely have learned from that, and they'll be saying, look, we need to tag these guys. But they'll also need to be able to shift guys across to cut off runs. And that's going to be the most important thing, is defensively, like Derry are operating at a really high level, and they're able to get space inside for Shane McGuigan, and they're also able to get these strike runners that you're going to have guys tagging them. But when they slip, which they will, you got to have guys got to be clued in to make sure that they're cutting off space in behind as well, to make sure that they're not getting good, easy easy shots off, and that's going to be one of the most important things as well.
Just on that, Mike, is there certain lads that just have to play when you're playing a team like Derry in the way they play?
Yeah, I think you made a decent comment there, and possibly trying Kieran Malloy, on the half forward line and tracking runners, about 11, maybe a wing forward position or something like that. I think Daniel Flaherty, after coming on, he probably has secured that wing back position for next week. Yeah, look, we're probably looking at the likes of Maher and D'Arcy out the middle. And like we were saying, we're wearing thin a small bit out there. It's fine setting up defensively, and I think that needs to be spot on, particularly what we're coming up against. It's not to forget about that offensive play as well, and how to move that ball and get that transition right. Will we have enough in D'Arcy and Maher up the middle to do that? I don't think so. Who do you put out the middle? Do you put a Kieran Malloy out the middle and see what he's like? I think he's strong enough. He's good in the air. Yeah, I think we'll see a couple of surprises next week in the team layout, because just the way it's panning out, you're changing things up for opposition. It'll be interesting to see what they come up with.
I think one of the things that worries me a little bit is like, look, I don't know how I actually don't know how Derry lined out against Monaghan, and obviously don't know how they line out next week. But they will, if they were to play like if you were to look across the middle of Emma Bradley, Conor Glass, and
Brendan Rodgers.
Brendan Rodgers and Ethan Doherty, like. If you're Conor Gleeson, you're looking out at that, you're going, oh, Jesus Christ, where do I put this? And then you might have Orrin Lynch, popping up that kind of right half back spot. So one of the things I would do, I might jump in on this one, is if you've Conor Gleeson in goal and they decide to deploy Orrin Lynch that right half back spot, I personally, this is something me now, I would overload that side of the pitch with some of our bigger guys, so the likes of Keane D'Arcy, if he's there, John Maher, Johnny Heaney, and I would get Conor Gleeson to land ball after ball down on top of Orrin Lynch and get three or four guys jumping on him and making sure that, to be honest, making sure he does not want that ball coming down on top of him at any stage again, because to me at this stage he's getting a free ride and that's trying to make it a bit difficult for him. And I think that would be a good opportunity to say, look, let's do what Kevin used to do, get loads of bodies to one side of the pitch. But let's see, does Orrin Lynch like this ball dropping on his head? If you have Keane D'Arcy, John Maher, Johnny Heaney, and maybe one or two others coming very, very strong and making sure that he knows that this isn't going to be an easy ride for him. So try and come up with maybe a couple of things that might make life that little bit more difficult for Derry.
Yeah, I think you're right, Barry, and that probably needs to go back to that Kevin Wall style and getting in that what do you call it, that flood zone or that square, and just landing it down top. Because to be honest, Gleeson seems to be doing that anyway. He seems to be going quite long, and in fairness, Galway got good success from it today, but that's coming up against a poor Tyrone team. And I think we will get punished, and Derry, they will get on that counter attack and they'll be gone. Our wing forwards, it'll be just chasing game if we're not swarming breaks. So yeah, they definitely need to come up with something, because just hoofing it long, I don't think that's going to work against Derry.
Yeah, no, it's a huge task on Sunday against Derry. Just before we do finish up, Barry, we're Ballyhale watching your power rankings.
Definitely aren't watching the abuse I was receiving on online following it and no I maybe you have a huge following down in on the way out to West Clare, Paul. I'm not 100% sure, but so what they will be watching is your articles in the Limerick Leader over the next couple of weeks and seeing how much you're writing Clare off in the Munster Championship. So do that at your peril anyway.
But just on that, Barry, I presume you're excited for the role and everything going into Clare.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, opportunity like that doesn't come around too often. Not without its difficulties. There's obviously a huge football culture down there as well, and off that Bally A panel to three or four on the Clare senior panel and a couple under 21s, and lots of them play obviously with Clan de Gard and Lissy Casey and all that sort of stuff. So but nothing known down there hasn't overcome in the past, and obviously has some top talent as well, although lots of them, which I'm sure is the same in every club all around the country, lots of players in Australia, and it seems to be, I'm not sure it's like in Munavair and Corfin, Mike, but there's a lot of players all over the country that have decided that it's a good opportunity to go and travel, and can't blame them. But I think that's something, the split season, it's given, you know, if you're in some clubs and you're knocked out of a championship by the middle of September, and you know that's not going to be senior championship again for another practically 10-11 months, then it's very, very, very difficult to make sure to try and keep lads at home. And that is one of the difficulties that definitely Ballyhale are facing, and I'm sure it's the same with lots of clubs around the country.
Just on that, Mike, Barry mentions there Curvin and Munavay, and it was such an intriguing story last year. But how was it for you to manage both clubs last year? I think today, obviously, where you play Corton in the semi-final and then you have to go and tug out after. How was that full experience for you?
Look, it was class. I mean, the fact that we won both was, I think you couldn't have pictured it and couldn't imagine it. Yeah, it was top class. It was a busy year. You know, I was delighted to be able to go back playing, because to be honest, I nearly decided to step away because injuries were just killing me, really, for the guts of 3 years or so. Went back. I didn't even see a lot of the league games for Curfin, to be honest, because we were doing bits with Munavay nearly on the same day, so it was unfortunate. But, you know, I kind of found the hunger a small bit in going in with Munavay. I kind of found the love for a small bit again, and said, you know what, I'll give it another crack and see how it goes, and thankfully the body held up. So, yeah, it was top class, and there was a great bunch in Munavay as well that, look, they bought into it. You know, we put in what I think is a good structure there, but if it's not backed with commitment by the players, you're going nowhere, and they did it in abundance. But yeah, look, it was a brilliant year.
Might be time to pack it in now, though. give the rest of us a chance, for God's sake.
Are you doing both again this year, Mike?
Yeah, go at it again.
And what happens if Curfin
and Munavay draw each other in the group?
In the stairs, isn't it?
Just one highlight last year, Mike, with the Munavay. Bunce interview before the Kilmeena game, I'm sure.
You surely brought that up over a cup of tea and biscuit at the house some evening, did you?
Do you know what? I didn't. didn't even mention it. I think there was enough kind of meta of it as it was, so there was no need. Look, it was funny. I think it attracted a lot more people maybe to go to the game and, you know, be more involved in it. And of course, everyone knows Bones, he's a character, but he's a brilliant manager, and what he did for Munavay and going back and taking the job was top class. And I think it's a real success story for him, and the success that he's had with Munavay, you know, through junior, intermediate and senior. So he's a Munavay Abbey man through and through. And yeah, it was a great crack. It was great banter when that interview came out. Yeah, it was a good guy.
Can I just say, I know we're, but on Bunty, right? And I think so sometimes you look at teams, particularly at inter-county level, and you know, I'm actually not going to say what county I'm talking about here, but you know that they're training really hard, and you know that their setup is probably very, very good. But sometimes they look like they're training, or that they're prepared just, it looks like they don't actually know what they're actually training so hard for. And it actually takes someone like the likes of Bunty that comes in and actually can bring a group, like mightn't be a Mickey Hart or mightn't be a Jim McGuinness, but is able to bring a group together that actually looks like they have an identity. And that's what Munavay did this year, and Bunty has done it previously with other teams. And like, I think sometimes that can be underestimated, that ability to bring a group of people together to create an identity that go and play for each other. Because to a certain extent, if you have the backing of a county board and unlimited amounts of money, you can put a setup in place that will, you'll say, well, sure, look, we have great stats guys and we've the best S&C and we've top coaches and we just don't know what's going wrong. But if you can't create an identity piece around that, you're kind of going nowhere. And like, as I said, Bunty is a brilliant example of someone that can go into a group, pull them together, get them all going in the one direction. And it shows that they want to go and play for him and for whatever their club is at the time as well.
Yeah, spot on. And that's exactly what he does. He brings the group together. Look, he's a very honest man. You know, he tells us straight as it is. But I think that was respected, and I think that worked well. And maybe it mightn't work well in different groups, but definitely in one of the Abbey. You know, they're driven to the cause. They love sport. You know, and that was another challenge. You know, with the hurling, soccer, rugby, it was something that I hadn't experienced in the past, you know, because Curfin, we don't really do anything else other than play football, play a bit of soccer during the off season and that. So it was definitely a new challenge. It was new to me, but how he dealt with that was savage, you know. He's a really good organizer and man manager, and I think that's half the battle in management.
Good stuff. Well, it was a great story throughout last year, but that's all we do have time for on the podcast for today. A massive thank you to Mike and Barry for coming on.
Thanks, Paul.